This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. President-elect Donald Trump is not doing business as usual, and yesterday he took aim at the American pharmaceutical and biotech industries.
They're getting away with murder. Pharma has a lot of lobbies, a lot of lobbyists, and a lot of power, and there's very little bidding on drugs. We're the largest buyer of drugs in the world, and yet we don't bid properly, and we're going to start bidding, and we're going to save billions of dollars over a period of time.
That was from the president-elect's press conference yesterday. He presented no specific plan, but he surely has the attention of Boston's enormous biotech sector. And joining me now with some reaction is longtime Boston biotech leader Deborah Dunsire. She's former CEO of Forum Pharmaceuticals and of Millennium Pharmaceuticals, and she was leading Millennium when Japanese drug maker Takeda bought the company in 2008 for almost $9 billion. Deborah Dunsire, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Meghna. It's great to be here.
So first of all, give us your reaction when the president-elect yesterday started talking about controlling drug prices.
I think the first thing we can say is that it isn't surprising. On the campaign trail, Mr. Trump had raised this issue. I do take issue with the characterization of a life-saving industry which has transformed human health being characterized as getting away with murder. But I think we can look forward to further scrutiny on pricing. And I think it is up to the industry to demonstrate the value for the innovation, the performance of the innovation, and the fact that the innovation should be paid for.
Do you think this scrutiny is justified?
I think it's inevitable given some of the bad acting that we saw from companies who are not the traditional industry and who have not been focused on innovation. And I think about Martin Shkreli and Turing Pharmaceuticals, which is not a pharmaceutical company in the sense of bringing forward innovation. And after those type of bad actions, it's, I think, inevitable that pricing will be in the spotlight.
Right. Do you think that there's the possibility amongst the companies, you know, legitimately in the biotech and pharma sector that all it might take is this kind of rhetoric from the president-elect to affect some change? Because I was looking back that in December at the Forbes Healthcare Summit, the chief of Allergan, Brent Saunders, said that he was going to, A, expand a patient assistance program to help people pay for the drug that his company makes to get sure that they could get access for some of those medicines, especially for mental illness, and that he also pledged not to make large price increases, limiting the drug price increase to 10% or no more than 10% once a year.
Right. I happened to hear him speak on Tuesday in San Francisco at the J.P. Morgan meeting.
The big biotech
conference that starts off the year. And he reiterated the same thing. Allergan had taken a 9.9% price increase, of which they realize a net of about 2 to 3% given discounts and rebates. And he urges restraint, and I think the industry has demonstrated some restraint as we've gone through the end of 2016 and into 2017. And leaders among the industry are talking about demonstrating both restraint on pricing, but also a much clearer description of why products are priced as they are, more pay for performance in terms of the ability of products to deliver, and also the value of the innovation brought forward.
And so how do you do that? I mean, because, I'm looking at comparative prices of certain drugs. Let's take, for example, Humira, which is an arthritis or anti-inflammatory drug. It seems that in the U.S. it can cost up to $3,000. In Canada, it's priced at $1,900. In the U.K., priced at $1,100. I mean, when people see that, they're getting a certain message about the value that they're paying for in the United States versus other countries. So how would you change what that message is when the price is such a powerful indicator?
Yes, it is a powerful indicator. The unfortunate thing is that what we see in that price is not actually what gets paid. The opacity of the pricing system, the list price is discounted to various pharmaceutical benefit managers, to the government, by very significant amounts that increase over time. But the actual price that's paid is not disclosed, and it's considered a competitive issue between companies. So the challenge is that opacity, and we're talking as an industry about how to be clearer. The worldwide chairman of pharmaceuticals for Johnson & Johnson on Tuesday also spoke about a pledge they have made to disclose in aggregate things like the rebates. So trying to make this opaque pricing system a little bit more transparent so people understand that the list price is not the price that gets paid in most instances.
I see. So to sort of take the edge off sticker shock, in other words.
Yes.
Okay. And do you think that, and is there interest across the industry in doing something like that? Because that sounds like quite a significant change, because one could make the argument that the opacity is there because it provides competitive advantage between companies.
I think that there is a competitive edge to, if you're rebating to a particular buyer, what you're rebating gives you access, and so there is a competitive edge. But I think as an industry, we need to find a way to be clearer with the American public and our patients what is happening, and the fact that the industry is not reaping the benefit of these list prices.
Now, overall, how do you and your colleagues in Boston's biotech sector, enormous and important, obviously for biotech as a whole, but also especially for this region, I mean, do you look upon the Trump presidency as one that, you know, it could be is going to be good for biotech, not good? I mean, what's the feeling amongst your colleagues?
I think at the moment the we're waiting to see how the policies evolve over time. Very important will be policies on tax, any repatriation of trapped capital from outside could make an investment in biotech in the U.S. more feasible. We look at regulation from an FDA standpoint. That's going to be very critical. We're looking with interest at who Mr. Trump is considering for FDA commissioner. There are many ways in which the industry can be helped or harmed by different policies. And right now, none of those are abundantly clear. So we're waiting with interest to see how we can go forward. But what's clear is that this industry can transform patients' lives through innovation and has done so for many years, will continue to do so. And we need a climate that fosters investment and the ability for patients to access care.
Forgive me for pressing you on this, but I'm just curious, is the industry concerned that government under President Trump could transform the industry?
Yes. I think any president, any administration has the ability to do that for better or for worse. And there are policies that can significantly foster innovation, speed development, bring new drugs to patients faster. And there are policies that could harm investment in innovative industry.
Well, Deborah Dunsire is former CEO of Forum Pharmaceuticals and of Millennium Pharmaceuticals. She was heading Millennium when Japanese drug maker Takeda bought the company back in 2008 for $8.8 billion. Deborah Dunsire, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Magna. It's been a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's turn now to Dr. Don Berwick. He's a pediatrician, founding president, and current senior fellow at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement in Cambridge. He's also former chief of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. He served there under President Barack Obama. Dr. Berwick, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Nice to be here, Magna. Thank you very much.
So first of all, let me ask you the same question I asked Deborah Dunsire. When you heard President-elect Donald Trump yesterday saying that it's time for I'm not sure who he was referring to as in terms of bargaining more for drug prices, what was your reaction?
Well, he finally said something I agree with. I think that the pace of increase of pharmaceutical costs in this country is unsustainable. It's confiscatory. It's really hurting patients. It's hurting the system as a whole, and it's taking money away from other things we need it for, and it's unnecessary. We absolutely need to do something about it. It's going to take some real political courage.
Well, give us sort of the drug prices 101 right now in terms of what the government can or can't do, because as far as I've understood, Congress has tied Medicare's hands in part in terms of it can't really bargain for drug prices.
Yeah, we can start there. Medicare and Medicaid are the largest purchasers of drugs, I think, in the world. And even though I was running Medicare and Medicaid, I was forbidden by law from negotiating prices. It's simply a result of very heavy-handed lobbying on Capitol Hill, and it's worked for years and years. There's no authority in this government to look for a good deal in buying even the same drug. So that could be changed. It could be changed tomorrow.
But only if Congress would want that. And I'm not sure a GOP-led Congress would be amenable to that idea.
It requires statutory change. When President-elect Trump spoke at his press conference, he said we have to have bidding. That's what he's talking about. And so, don't underestimate the political viscosity here. I was told when I was running Medicare, for example, that there was one drug company that made one drug that had 200 lobbyists on Capitol Hill. This is an extremely forceful and capable lobbying group, maybe the most so in the whole country. So if Trump means it, it's going to be a fight.
So just to be clear, though, unlike in other countries, the government or in Medicare here doesn't have as many levers to pull in terms of negotiation.
That's correct. Medicare especially. There are a couple of things going on with the VA, for example, the Veterans Administration and Medicaid, which involve discounts. But no, it's nothing like a real market that would be at work here in which the government can negotiate as a big purchaser for something it's buying a lot of.
Okay. But doesn't Medicare already have some options in terms of, if not negotiation, tools that it can use to help control drug prices? Because here's an example. I was reading about Dendreon. It's a Seattle biotech that I think has been since bought and sold by Valeant Pharmaceuticals. But anyway, they had a cancer drug that when it was introduced, it first cost $93,000 back in 2010, and Medicare put that drug through something called a national coverage determination, which slowed its adoption and perhaps had an effect on price?
Maybe some effect on price. It's quite weak. The ability of Medicare to do national coverage determinations, that is to say, you know, what does this drug actually accomplish, should we cover it, and so on, is extremely limited. Most things that Medicare cover never go through that kind of determination. They're done by local determinations or just according to common practices. So no, there really aren't many teeth in Medicare to do anything about that.
Okay. So, you know, I asked Deborah Dunsire a little earlier about other changes that could be put into effect within the industry itself. And, you know, she talked about, for example, working on price opacity to communicate more clearly to buyers and patients about, you know, aspects of why something costs what it does and what benefit it brings. Do you think that that could be of significance?
Yes, it could. I think overall, I want to just concur with Ms. Dunsire. It's very important to preserve innovation in the industry. The problem is there's no evidence whatsoever of relationship between costs and prices on the one hand and research vigor on the other. So that's a bit of a smokescreen. But yes, transparency would help. The drug companies are very secretive about the pricing, also secretive about their own costs. For example, they claim they're doing a ton of innovation and they need the money to do it. We know they're spending more money on advertising than on innovation, and they've been extremely reluctant to show any public information on the amount they're putting into research. So I'm a big fan of transparency. I think it would help. Of course, for a lot of the drugs that are of concern, there is no competition. These are specialty drugs, only one of a kind, at least for some period of time. And the companies, they're just pricing arbitrarily. Competition wouldn't help with those drugs because they can just name any number they want and they can get it. And for that, we're going to have much more forceful activity and possibly even some real controls put in from government. Mm. Again, that'd be a fight, but competition can't solve all of that.
Dr. Berwick, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, and understand, even for some simple drugs like insulin, for example, the price of insulin, which is made by very few companies in this country, but it's a basic, simple drug. That's gone up not every year, but every 3-4 months, so that people who are dependent on insulin need, they're over a barrel. They have to find the money, which means they're going to give up something else. And I'm not sure what competition can do about that. That's going to have to be regulation, or better, if the pharmaceutical industry would show some real self-restraint, which they have not done, maybe that would be a way to buy some time.
And maybe that is what might happen, because I've got to ask you finally in the last couple seconds we have, Dr. Berwick. I mean, you yourself, during your time in Washington, know about how recalcitrant Congress can be, right? Like, Congress wouldn't even hear or let you have your hearing to make you permanent head of Medicare, which is why you left Washington. Here we have a GOP-controlled Congress, which I don't think is showing any interest in changing Medicare's ability to negotiate on drug prices at all, regardless of what the president-elect says. So, I mean, could we possibly be in a situation where we are relying on the president-elect to say what he says, and that perhaps being enough motivation for changes to come from within the industry?
Yes, I don't want to let Congress off the hook. We could fix it. This is not that hard. If with will, we could do, we know what laws and regulations and scrutiny would help. We could do it. But if the pharmaceutical industry sits there and allows Mylan to increase the price of EpiPens to an absolutely absurd level, and the industry says nothing about it, they do not earn public trust. So maybe this president, the president-elect, will call them to task and say, no, you can't behave that way, and some kind of voluntary self-restraint will start to appear. I surely hope so.
Well, Dr. John Berwick is a pediatrician, founding president, and current senior fellow at the Institute for Healthcare Improvement in Cambridge, and also former chief of Medicare and Medicaid. Don Berwick, thanks so much.
Thank you, Magna.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.